We're in 1 Peter chapter 1, and our key verse is verse 7. Maybe you watch the Olympics, and if you watch the Olympics, I don't really follow sports, but I like to follow personalities in sports. And I like to see how Olympics act and how they react to circumstances. And maybe you've watched, you've noticed a big thing with athletes, if they win a medal in the Olympics, they take the medal and they get a picture of them biting the medal, like biting the coin, maybe on the podium or after they step off of the podium. Maybe they do it for the Wheaties box or for the magazine cover, but it's kind of a big thing to do these days. And the Washington Post wrote this: It's not a chocolate coin wrapped in gold foil, people. That's actual metal that composes that Olympic medal. So why do athletes bite them? There's actually a few reasons, but the most obvious is that there is a pose photographers really, really like to capture. So it's maybe the athletes don't even know why they do it. They just know it's a great pose. It takes a great picture. All they know is it's a popular thing to do. Now, in a generation, in a time before our time, in a generation ago, people would bite a gold coin, a coin of currency. They would bite a gold coin to see if it was real. Now, good thing, enamel is harder than gold. And you can score real gold, you can score that coin. And if you could score it, if you could mark it with your teeth, that meant it was likely that it was real, that the gold was genuine. Now, gold Olympic medals are not gold anymore. They haven't been gold since 1912. And the gold medals of today, I read somewhere where they are 1.34% gold. So you can't really bite down on an Olympic medal anymore. In fact, a luge athlete, David Moeller, in 2010, he chipped a tooth because he bit down on his gold medal. It was a silver medal for him. But go back to gold coins of another age. Go back to that time. To prove, to test whether or not a coin was genuine, a person might bite on that coin, score it, and mark it. And then you look and you see, yes, it is genuine. It really is a gold coin. And it makes me think of 1 Peter. It makes me think of our lesson this morning. The passage we talk about this morning is about trials and difficulties. Trials of all kinds. Spiritual trials. And then other trials, like a flat tire, they don't seem so spiritual. Trials of all kinds, though they score our life, though they mark our life, so to speak, those trials and troubles, they test us. They test whether the faith is real. They test whether it's genuine, whether our faith in Christ is really there. Before we go any further, let's have a word of prayer. Lord, guide and direct as we continue in our study. We are going to face trials. We are going to face troubles. Lord, help it to prove our faith to be true. We pray and come before you in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple of Sundays ago, we said this: are we going to make it? Two Sundays ago, the question was, are we going to make it? Have you ever thought, and this is not for testimony time, you don't even say it out loud, it's in the recesses of your mind. Am I going to make it through the valley of the shadow of death? When I get to the other side, is my salvation going to be there? And we said 2 weeks ago, you who have placed your faith in Jesus, you can be sure. Amen? Amen? You can be sure it's there. You can know You can be certain of your salvation because God is guarding it. God is keeping it. God has got your salvation on the other side. Look at verse 5, 1 Peter chapter 1. Who are kept, and the word kept means like a garrison of soldiers, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So two Sundays ago, the question was, are we going to make it? And the answer was, yes. The power of God. He is keeping your salvation. You have no worries. Salvation is like a beautiful diamond. It's got different facets and different things to see about it. And so we look at it differently today. Our question today is this. Is it real? Is it real? Is your faith real? Is your faith genuine? Can your faith stand up to a trial? Can your faith stand up to being marked by a trouble and difficulty of this life? 1 Peter chapter 1, let's start in verse 6, if you'll follow along. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Now verse 7. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 7, our key verse. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revealing, at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Look at the first part of that verse. One translation puts it this way. These troubles test your faith and prove that it's pure. Another translation says it this way. The purpose of these troubles is to show whether you really trust God. The purpose of these troubles is to show whether you truly trust God. When you face trials of all kinds, when you're tempted to sin, when someone makes fun of you because you go to church on Sunday, when you have a flat tire, when your washing machine blows up, and you've got laundry all over the house, when troubles come your way. Look at verse 6. You have been grieved by various trials. Trials of all kinds. Troubles of all kinds. What are you going to do? When that comes, and we're all made of flesh, right? It's coming. This week we're going to have trials. They may be little. They may be big. But they're coming. What do we do when those trials come? You know, a lot of people do? They blame God. God, you control everything. You control this world. Why would you bring this trial into my life? Why do you bring this trouble into my life? And you know what? You can get angry at God. You can get angry at God and say, you know, the trouble that came about, I am not going to serve Him anymore. I'm even going to take a step away from the church. You can get bitter because a trial or trouble came along and you can blame God. Here's another thing you can do. You can blame other people. You know the saying, I could be a pretty good Christian if it weren't for people around me, right? I could be a pretty good Christian. Oh, you know, your co-workers. I could be a pretty good employee if I didn't have all those co-workers around me all day. If it wasn't for them, I could be a pretty good pastor. If it wasn't for the people, I could be a pretty good husband if it wasn't for my wife, right? Oh, don't tell her. Don't tell her that. You know that's not true. That's not how things work. And how about this? When trials and troubles come, here's another thing. You've heard of it. It's called karma. People say what comes around goes around. And so I'm on the wheel and it's hitting me. You know what? There is no such thing as karma. Proverbs 3 tells us, by wisdom the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding he set the heavens in place. There is no mysterious force called karma. There is only one God, and it is Jehovah of the Old and New Testament. It is Jesus Christ, the I Am. Amen? Galatians 6 tells us, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. So often, what happens to us may be directly connected to what we do. To what we do. There's no such thing as karma. Let's say it together. There's no such thing as karma. No such thing. So what will you do when troubles come this week? Blame God? No. Blame other people? No. Karma? It doesn't exist. Look at this letter, 1 Peter. We know it was divinely written. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, by the breath of God. We know this comes from the divine. The Holy Spirit inspired it. There's a human author that God guided the hand. Peter, the Apostle Peter. And during his day, you know, he's talking about trials. During his day, now listen, under Nero, under the emperor of his day, Christians were wrapped in freshly slaughtered animal skins, fed to dogs and wild animals. They were dipped in pitch or tar, set on fire as torches to light Nero's gardens. Peter himself very likely died during the first persecution. Peter understands when he's talking about trials and difficulties. Trials and troubles that test our faith. Someone wrote this. Job, probably, remember we read about Job? Job probably sustained heavier losses in one day than any other man in the history of the world. Yet he was able to say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Job 13. Three men in the Babylonian furnace, remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were literally tested by fire. The fire proved their faith to be real. Also, it burned away the ropes that held them, setting them free, Daniel 3. And during their flaming ordeal, they had the companionship of one like the Son of God. The genuineness of faith can be proved only by fire. Trials and troubles that test our faith. Look at verse 7 again. Look at the beginning of it. The purpose of these troubles is to show whether you really trust God. You know, so you say, well, you know, I am not the Apostle Peter. Don't put me in that category. I am not related to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I don't know. I'll tell you honestly, I don't know what I would have done if they said, the furnace is over here. I'm not sure what I would have done. I'm not in that category. I am not, you know, dare to be a Daniel. I'm not sure if I want to be a Daniel. I don't want to be in the lion's den. I'm not sure if I can handle that. I'm not a famous Bible character. I'm just me. I'm just trying to grow in faith in Jesus. I look at these songs, I'm reading these verses, and I'm doing my devotions, and I'm just trying to grow in my faith. Listen, this is the crux of it. This is the crux of it. You may not be a great Bible figure. You may not think that your faith is like an apostle's faith. But listen, but when you have a trial, You know, the next time you lean over that car and you know something's broken, you know you can't fix it. The next time there's a trial, when someone makes fun of your faith, when your car's making that weird noise that you know is going to be expensive. Here it is. Now listen. Can you stop for a moment? Can you say this? I don't know how, but Lord, help me. Can you depend on Him? I don't blame God. I don't blame people. I don't believe in karma. Lord, help me through this. Help me through this. Help me. And by the way, this is where the church comes in. We need other people praying and being there for us as well. And through that, you prove your faith is there. You prove you've got faith in Jesus when you say to Him, I don't know how this is going to work, but I depend on You. And I might even call another Christian and say, would you pray for me? Would you help me? And you prove your faith. You prove you've got faith in your heart. Look at verse 7. Look at 1 Peter 1. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation, at the revealing of Jesus Christ. Look at that verse. Peter uses the illustration of gold being tested by fire. If you've been in church long enough, if you've been in a Baptist church long enough, all preachers talk about this, how that gold is heated up and that the dross, all the impurities come to the surface and that the dross is ladled off. And what is left is pure gold only because of the heat that was applied. And preachers have for generations preached that heat and that trials and that troubles applied to our lives test our faith, prove our faith, and bring out the best in our faith. And all I have to say is, it's true. It's true. I tell you, I don't find out if I have faith here this morning. We're all here. It's spiritually comfortable. We've all washed up nice. We're all feeling comfortable. You will not find out if you've got genuine faith here this morning. It doesn't work that way. You won't find out if you've got faith sitting here this morning in church. I find out, do I have it? Is my faith there? Tomorrow morning when real life hits me, when real life troubles come into contact with my life, trials and troubles testing our faith. Is it real? Is my faith genuine? Listen to how someone put it. Listen to this. To form a useful object, raw gold must be cast into a mold. For that to occur, the solid ore must be melted, requiring a temperature of 1900 degrees. When the gold is melted, the impurities rise to the surface, where they are skimmed off or burned off. A goldsmith knows the gold is ready to cast when the liquid becomes so reflective that he can see his face in it. He can see his face in the gold. Through the refining heat of trials, we as followers of Jesus Christ grow spiritually and thus reflect more of Christ's character in our lives. Trials and troubles come into my life. When Christ looks at me, does He see Himself? Does He see more of Him in my life as I go through those trials, as I depend on Him, as I call upon You to pray with me and help me? When Christ looks at us, when Christ looks at our faith, this week, at work, when testing comes, in those times, does He see more and more of Himself reflected in the gold, reflected in the faith. Is it real? Is it genuine? Do I have genuine faith? Look at the verse. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The troubles test your faith and prove that it is pure. The purpose of troubles is to show whether you really trust God. You may want to be a soldier, but you won't know until you get through boot camp. You won't know if you're going to be a soldier until you get through boot camp. You may want to be a teacher. We've got some great teachers in our group. You may want to be a teacher. Sitting in a college classroom will not help you to know. Standing in front of a class that may or may not want to learn. Working through student troubles, long hours of grading and working through decisions about students, that'll be the proof. That'll be the proof. A number of friends, of my friends, that sought the ministry when I was training and when I was beginning, they never made it. They never made it to the ministry. And when they got in, they never made it. You know why? Trials and troubles and difficulties of life. And when they come to our faith, these trials and troubles, what are we going to do? Warren Wiersbe said this. Listen, the trials of life test our faith to prove the sincerity of faith that cannot be tested, cannot be trusted. A person who abandons his or her faith when the going gets tough is only proving that he or she really had no faith at all. Trials and troubles that test our faith. Two things. We're almost done. Now listen. Just two things. God is not out to get you. I guess it's a little bit more of don't blame God. God is not out to get you. I've read this book long enough to know. God is not out to get you when trials come. You know, I've talked about flat tires and washing machines, and I know that there have been things that really hurt your heart more than just a flat tire. And you need to know, God is not out to get you. Think of a good teacher at a college, and everybody knows that that is a good teacher, and they really teach you a lot, but their course is hard. If you get them on your schedule, you might not pass their... They're a good teacher, but you might not pass their test. The projects are too hard. Students say, well, don't take that teacher. Avoid his or her class. We may look at God that way. We know He's a good God. We know He's a good God. But we don't want to be in His class. We don't want His troubles and trials to come our way. I don't want to have trials and troubles come to test my life. Look at verse 7 again. Though it be tried with fire, even though refined by fire, the Greek in there says, it means, the Greek words mean this, to test for the purpose of approving. He doesn't test you to think so you'll go off the cliff. He tests you to prove that you've got it. To prove that you really do have faith. If God allows a trial into your life, He does not want to destroy you. He only wants to approve. You've got it. You depended on me. You trusted in me. You've got genuine faith. You've got the faith the Bible talks about. We talked about the Olympic athlete before, you know, biting on the medal. But here's something else. The best athletes want to be tested. The best athletes want to stand in the podium only after they have gone through the best competition so they can prove who they really are. Someone said it this way. Genuine faith will result in praise, honor, and glory when Jesus Christ is revealed. This simply means that God will reward every instance of faith that stood the test. He will praise those who joyfully, surrounded by trouble, stood their ground. He will award honor and glory to tried and suffering believers who are able to accept the tribulation as a vote of confidence. A vote of confidence. God wants to reward you. Look at the end of verse 7. God wants to reward you. You will receive honor and He will receive glory at the end when He looks at your life. And one final thing. Now listen. One final thing. Look at the end of verse 7. The revelation of Jesus Christ. The appearing of Jesus Christ. Look at the word revelation. We get the word apocalypse from it. And you think, you know what? I've heard that before. Apocalypse. I've seen movies where waves come up over buildings, where an asteroid comes and destroys the earth. We don't want an apocalypse. But that's the word that comes from the Greek, the word revelation or appearing of Jesus. To reveal, it means to lighten, to make known. That's what it means. It doesn't mean an asteroid. It doesn't mean a tidal wave. The end is coming. And it's a good thing. All of the moral depravity that you see out there in culture and in government, it will be revealed for what it is someday. And it will be judged. Amen? It will be judged. And the things of this world will burn. 2 Peter talks about a new heaven and a new earth. Even gold is going to burn. Even gold is going to perish. And when all things are revealed and lightened and revealed, that's what the word apocalypse means. Your faith is going to be proven genuine. When you stand by Jesus, your faith tested by trials will be proven to be real, will be proven to be authentic, will be proven. Will it? Will it? Will your faith be proved to be real at the revelation of Jesus when everything is brought to light, when the final judgment? Let's stand together. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Let's sing just the first stanza. When the roll is called up yonder. I hope that you can sing this. I hope that you can sing this knowing your faith is genuine. The trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more. And the morning breaks again by and by. When the saved of earth shall gather on the other shore, and the roll is called yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Would you bow your heads for a moment? Would you bow your heads for a moment if you have any doubt? If you're going to be there, if you face trials and troubles and you couldn't get through them, maybe you need to come to know Jesus as your Savior. If you have any doubts as to whether you know Him, whether you've ever had a spiritual birthday, whether you've ever believed in Him with all your heart and what He did on the cross, if you have any doubts, please slip your hand up and say, I've been brought here on purpose today. I'm not sure if I'll be there. I'm not sure if my faith is genuine. Would you slip up your hand if you're not sure? Is there anyone here this morning? Lord, we come before You in Jesus' name. I thank You for the genuine faith that I've seen in the believers here. And I pray, Lord God, that You would help each of us to understand when trials and troubles come, Jesus is trying to prove us. He's trying to approve our faith. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Sing the last. Do we have a last stanza?